I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This hour, we're talking about Big Pharma. President Trump focuses on drug pricing in his State of the Union address, and the political heat therefore rises. And what will be the response from Congress, and more importantly, the drug companies? Because whenever the chatter rises in Washington, Big Pharma goes about doing their business, spending more money, and trying to squelch the conversation on so many fronts. Joining us is Seth Denson, president and co-founder of GDP Advisors. He's a healthcare expert to talk about this. Seth, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you.
So, Seth, this is not new. We've talked about this before. We've had any number of issues in 2015, 2017. I think they talked about it in 2018. And we don't seem to really get off of being stuck on this issue. What's going to be different this time, if any?
Well, I think the key thing to focus on here is that for the Trump administration, this is their, we'll call it their Affordable Care Act. The Trump administration has planted itself in the ground and said, we're going to do something about prescription drugs, and they put the entire industry on notice. And Alex Azar, who heads Health and Human Services, is a former Big Pharma executive. So he does know how the game is played and how the system works, and they are taking steps, gradual at best, but still taking steps to really do something to drive down costs of prescription drugs in the United States.
There's been a lot of conversation about this notion of listing list prices. And in my view, that I don't think that really gets us anywhere. What are your thoughts?
Well, it doesn't. It's still necessary just because of the need for transparency in the system. That is an absolute must, because the American consumer doesn't really understand the pure cost of drugs. All we see are the commercials on television and go, well, listen, I want to be happy like those people, and I go and get my drugs. But what they don't realize is the sticker shock behind the scenes, because the American citizen is focused on a $20 or $30 copay. And even what we're starting to see, which is some of these drug companies produce transparency in the pricing of it, they're very careful in how they're doing it and saying, well, your costs are going to vary based on your health insurance. And that's true. But what we don't realize is that health insurance premiums, well, they're just the derivative of our health care costs. And so the more health care that we consume, the more our health insurance premiums go up. Health insurance is just the financing mechanism of these high-cost drugs.
Well, it seems as though it's nothing but being replete with smoke screens, one blaming the other for the cost. You see that over and over again. You talk about advertising, and it seems to me, why would we just not outlaw all of this advertising? Because I think that creates false expectations in the consumer base of what they're going to get from some of these drugs, how much are they going to ultimately pay. And once there is this notoriety and market buy-in for these drugs, there's so many examples of these drug companies not increasing pricing double digits, but high triple digits, some as high as 650, 750%.
Yeah, no question that the advertising structure that we allow here in the U.S. when it comes to prescription drugs is it's extremely misleading, in so much as simple as I can't go buy the product without a doctor's prescription, right? So we're watching millions and millions of dollars in advertising for something that I just can't go get on my own anyway. And so this idea that we're going to start to move the needle in prescription drugs, specifically around advertising, well, it's false at best, because most Americans spend on average about 10 hours researching a car before they buy it, 2 hours researching a television, and about 15 minutes when it comes to researching their health care. Americans don't research anything. And so you're right, the pharmaceutical industry behind the scenes continues to raise prices. And to the end consumer, all we're focused on is that prescription drug copay that we get through our health insurance, not what the actual ticket price is that gets billed back to our health insurance, and then it just becomes a finger-pointing game all around.
You know, I appreciate that there are those that really take this serious and on this issue and want to do something about it, and I hear all of the soundbite politicians talking about it. But I find a lot of hypocrisy there and a lot of it coming back to taking money from the lobbyists on behalf of Big Pharma. And when we come back, I want to pick your brain about how we could go about changing that, which I think may have a much more lasting effect on pricing of drugs going into the future. Seth, every time someone talks about this issue and they bring it up, and obviously President Trump talking about it in his State of the Union address, the political heat rises, but so does Big Pharma, and they really start charging their members more for purposes of lobbying. And we're talking about in the hundreds of millions of dollars that they start putting out there in campaigns to influence, to frame the issue, really to give many of the members of Congress, in my view, an escape route to talk around these issues. And you just, when you see the memos of the talking points put out by Big Pharma, it's exactly what a lot of these folks in Congress are saying.
No, you're absolutely right. Listen, as you start to look at the overall healthcare lobby in general, and this is encompassing not just pharmaceuticals, but the health insurance industry and healthcare delivery system industry, the lobby for this group is larger than defense, tobacco, and guns combined. And so these folks have a lot of power when they get to Washington in their ability to sway the conversation and get their message to the microphone because of their buying power.
And, you know, the pharmacy industry is one in which I think their profits are greater than any other industry out there. And they just unilaterally decide to charge whatever they want to charge, however they want to charge. And there's really no one, you know, that has a check on what they do. So they have the highest profit margins. Their annual increases are average about 18% a year, but that also includes some of these life-saving drugs that we've seen reports of 700-something% increases in drug pricing. So in your view, what is the best way for us to go about trying to reduce this phenomenon?
Well, the challenge that we have here in the United States is obviously not allowing the government to step in and start to run the healthcare industry. I'm a free market capitalist, and I believe that the rest of the world, who has the advantage sometimes of what we call socialized medicine and price caps, does so because the United States doesn't. The United States is responsible for more than 70% of the innovation when it comes to healthcare in the world, and the rest of the world freeloads off that. So this is where it becomes a complicated balance of how do we continue to drive innovation, but start to put protections in places for consumers. And I'll tell you that there's a couple of things that we need to do. One, we the consumer have the power in a free market system, but we yield that power very quickly when it comes to our health care. I mentioned in the last segment, we don't do research. We don't understand what questions to ask. And we need to do more of that. We're culpable in this as a consumer. Now, what the federal government can do, though, is they can, we'll call it, put speed limits on the health care highway. And what I mean by that is the FDA, for example, needs to loosen the red tape structure by which new drugs are brought to market. That would increase competition. The Trade Commission and the Justice Department needs to stop allowing these pharmaceuticals to get patent extensions, you know, time and time again, just by simple structure changes to a drug. Humira, for example, which is made by AbbVie, has gone through numerous patent extensions just because they slightly tweak the drug every few years, and so the Trade Commission just continues to extend their patent, which thwarts competition. And so there's a number of things from a consumer perspective we can do, but there's a number of things we need our politicians and legislators to do to really start to restructure how healthcare is regulated in the United States. And I'm not talking about the government getting involved in healthcare from a running it perspective. Nobody wants to go to the post office to see their doctor. But what we do need to do is restructure how we manage and regulate the healthcare system today.
Would one opportunity be that we allow Medicare, Medicaid, or CMS to negotiate with pharmaceutical companies for pricing for Medicare and Medicaid recipients?
That's absolutely the right step. The federal government is the largest procurer of prescription drugs in the United States. They're the largest single customer, and yet the way that legislatively Medicare is structured, it's really using the private pay system to negotiate those drugs. And a big unknown in the pharmaceutical industry and the, how that operates is what are called pharmacy benefit managers. These are wholesalers who are kind of middlemen who negotiate the pricing of drugs, but they get compensated based on the spread. So they'll negotiate a price for the drug, mark it up, and then resell it. And then the federal government, along with you and me as the consumers, are paying that tab. Of the pharmaceuticals that are distributed in the United States, 70% are distributed by one of three pharmacy benefit managers. All three are owned by insurance companies. There's a lot of talk about collusion these days in politics. Healthcare system is in collusion with one another right now.
Well, why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't the FTC have concerns on that? You know, the big issue for me is that when I look at pricing, a lot of it is based on Medicare price. So when you see and you're negotiating insurance contracts, they pay you, you know, as you well know, 120, 130, 145% of Medicare. So Medicare kind of sets the floor, but yet they don't negotiate a price.
No, they don't. And when it comes to pharmaceuticals, they're actually not even focused on price at all, rather percentages. And I say this all the time. Percentage discounts don't matter. Prices do. I'll give you a 99% discount if I can set the starting price, right? And so we do need the Medicare and Medicaid system through CMS to be more of a consumer. But to your point, using Medicare as a baseline, today's private pay healthcare system, on average, is reimbursing at rates near 250%. Of Medicare. So if that is really the baseline that we're using to set or to reimburse pricing structures in the healthcare system, the fact that the private pay system is paying 250% of that number tells you that we're off kilter in how we're pricing this whole thing.
Yeah, and that's the thing I don't understand. I just don't understand why the federal government, as one of the largest healthcare providers in this country, is not negotiating in the capitalistic way, you know, with the power of the people that they control for pricing, because it would help.
That's right.
It would help everybody.
I think it goes back to your original statement at the beginning of the segment, right? The healthcare lobby is massive, and we talk about the pharmaceutical lobby, which is one of the largest parts of this. But as I mentioned a moment ago, the pharmaceutical industry, the biggest profit that is sent out is done through these pharmacy benefit managers, of which are now owned by insurance companies. So it's the insurance industry at the end of the day that's also driving a lot of these costs and expenses because it drives up their profits. Since the passage of the Affordable Care Act, the top publicly traded health insurance industry companies have seen a share price increase of over 220%.
Yeah. And then the other issue is they control the formulary of what you as the beneficiary of the insurance plan, they tell you what they're going to allow on their formulary. So if you're looking for a particular medication that's not on their formulary, you can't get it.
That's right. And the formulary, unfortunately, isn't necessarily structured on the best drug or the best price. It's structured based on which was the most financially advantageous to the PBM, the pharmacy benefit manager, which in turn is what was the most advantageous to the insurance company.
Yeah. So, once again, the beneficiary is completely left out of the equation. They don't care what works in the best interest of you for your health care. It's always what works in the best interest of their pocketbook and what the profit margin is that they can make.
The beneficiary is no longer the patient in today's healthcare system. The beneficiary is the shareholder.
Seth, one of the other issues that comes up, and this has been voted on by Congress, about whether or not getting drugs from other countries, and we often refer to Canada. The facts are is that the Canadian market is so much smaller than the U.S. market, when I'm not sure that it would statistically make a difference. But this has been voted down, if not once, at least twice, because they're saying that they can't ensure the efficacy of the drug and the safety of the drug, which is kind of unique to me because in today's world, when we talk about medical marijuana, we're not concerned about any of this. It doesn't go through the FDA. We don't care. It's a cottage industry. We take it as we can get it in many states. Why is it not worth the risk of opening up that market?
It is worth the risk. Again, it's just to the not to the financial benefit of the pharmaceutical industry here in the United States. In these westernized countries, places like the United Kingdom, France, Switzerland, Canada, all of these countries have very restrictive and structured ways in which drugs are developed in their countries as well. These aren't fly-by-night third world countries. And so what we need to do is open up free trade. We're all about free trade here in the United States. Well, let's open it up and let's allow for prescription drugs not only to be sold here in the United States, but also testing that is done in those countries to be brought into the U.S. You know, the pharmaceutical industry a lot of times will quote their pricing structure and the reason they're increasing their costs based on the cost of research and development. And the Federal Trade Commission does not allow, and the FDA does not allow for foreign market testing into the United States. And so a pharmaceutical company here in the U.S. has to start over on all their testing. Well, if we would allow, if the FDA would allow that testing in the United States, we can reduce the cost to bring new drugs to market and allow for more companies to rise up to bring competition into the marketplace because they can afford to do so.
Well, this will continue to reveal itself. And Seth, I appreciate your time today. And we will be getting back with you because I hope that there's going to be some movement in this Congress. I'm a little skeptical, but I still hope against all hope that it will.
We'll all remain optimistic. Thanks for having me on.
All righty. Seth Denson, president and co-founder of GDP Advisors, healthcare expert. We really appreciate your time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.